Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial #law, #529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game here on a Thursday. Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander. My partner in crime here, Kelly Bidlin, on the desk. We have crowned a World Series champion. Cash those Dodgers tickets. Congrats to you. Congrats to all of you who went ahead and got those Freddie Freeman MVP tickets into your account as well. Seemed like free money when it was even money. I know it's not sexy. It's not the 30-1, the 40-1. All it's still money. Money's money. You will take an even money win any day of the week, Kelly Bidlin.
I'm mad that I didn't bet it that day when we talked to Adam at even money. I'm mad I didn't bet it at the -900. Even if I just won a few bucks, I don't care. It still seemed like a great bet yesterday.
What were you thinking? You know what it is? It's the you're on air. And you're doing other things. I do this constantly, right? I do this even when I'm doing a show with opening NFL lines. And I'm going, oh, I really like that one. I'll write it down. And then an hour will have gone by. Now, how did I not figure out a time to put this into the account?
All right, we're gonna have to clear up some beef here. So you're telling me during the show, you do make a list of bets to make.
Yes.
And in the past, you've given me a lot of crap over my bets to make to-do list.
Well, no, yes, but here, but I'm doing this stuff on the fly. Like you're just doing it because like you can't do it at the time. So you got to go get a haircut or something or whatever.
Sure. What
does
it matter?
I'm going to pick up my dry cleaning. So I got to remind myself to make these bets later.
Correct.
Yeah. No, I'm on the fly in the middle of a.
Yes. Most of the time it's though when we're doing shows. Yes.
All right. Well,
but then you get in the habit. The problem is the habit starts and then it grows and then it's like, okay, well, yeah, like you said, I got to go get my dry cleaning. Let me send myself a reminder on this one.
Over in Thursday Night Football, still 1.5 to 2.5. So you can find everything in between. There's also two. So everything in between if you want to. So shop around. And then, but that being said, the total is now 42.5 pretty much across the industry. So all of that money here this morning, Kelly, coming in on the over. I'm sure the final injury report had a decent amount to do with that, in which two key defensive players for the Texans are out and three key defensive players for the Jets are out, including both starting safeties.
Yeah. Yeah. But important to note there, this is one of those games, Matt, like I don't really know where we're going to see this move between now and start a game. I wouldn't expect it to move much either way. Do you expect one side to take a little bit more money here than the other?
I mean, if anything, and this could be, again, this is all speculation, but if anything, if people are tuning into the pregame and they start talking about how Nico Collins was a leading receiver in the NFL and he went out and now Steph Diggs is out and the you know, only guy they've got is Tank Dell and all. Could some last minute bets maybe roll in on the Jets? I mean, maybe, you know, like maybe. Do I think it gets to three? No, which is why I went ahead and just played the two, even though I've now missed out on the best, which is the 2.5. But I don't know if it gets all the way to three with all of that, but I think we could see some maybe some 2.5s pop. You know, at these places that are already two.
FanDuel Boyd 2.5 right now.
Yep. FanDuel Boyd 2.5 right now. DraftKings at 1.5. So if you do want to back the Jets, and then 2's pretty much everywhere else industry wide.
Okay.
So just be sure, as we always say, shop around. Make sure you're getting the number that you want.
Circa, their Texans getting bet right now. So that makes sense where we've seen, you know, coming off the two, back on the two, that sort of thing.
So anyway, just be sure that you're looking around. We want to make sure that you're getting the best number in there.
Yep.
All right, so let's take a look at the some of these futures markets, and the NFL MVP is pretty interesting to me, Kelly, because I do think that there are some people that are listed here that I don't think have a very good chance of winning, which helps us as bettors because we can narrow down the field and take advantage of the fact that they are soaking up some of the money and they are getting us a little bit better odds. And, you know, first and foremost, is Lamar Jackson sitting there at 3-1. Like, for him to win back-to-back MVPs, Kelly, like, they don't want to do that anyway. And for him to win back-to-back MVPs, like, I don't think that people are going to look at the end of the day and not see Derrick Henry and his gaudy, what will be, by the end of this season, gaudy touchdown numbers. Mm-hmm. Maybe not, like, actual rushing yards, but Derrick Henry is going to score a ton of touchdowns for this team. And then also, I think they're going to lose couple more games here and there that maybe they shouldn't. That defense has some real problems that they can, you can run on this defense. And then, and I understand they're getting a couple pieces back this week in the secondary, but they were bad when they were in there. So I mean, like, yeah. You're getting back players that were playing bad before.
And what, nose tackle just went on the IR, right?
Yeah, yeah. And so for me, I don't really think Lamar is there. Patrick Mahomes at 6-1, dude. It's that defense. It's not Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is not the reason that this team is where they are at. I get it. I know it's Mahomes, and anytime your team's undefeated, like, your name is going to be mentioned. But what I'm saying is, I'm not saying that it's crazy that he's mentioned, Kelly. What I'm saying is it's, we should not be betting him because he's not going to win.
Not at all. Yeah. I think we got to pause it there because the Mahomes conversation, I think, is really interesting right now, because we talked about so much during the offseason about, okay, you're looking at all these awards markets, and I feel like so many people brought this up. And at the time, I think it was the right thing to say, where Andy Reid is just a guy who's never going to get Coach of the Year love because he has a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes. You would think if I told you that the Chiefs were sitting here undefeated at this point in the season, that Mahomes would be around where he's at now with this list, maybe even shorter odds with what the record is. But like you said, it's the defense doing all the work right now. I actually think I think Mahomes' odds should be a lot longer in this. And Andy Reid should actually be more heavily considered for Coach of the Year in that market. And I really think it's flipped from what we talked about with this team in the preseason.
He is 16th in the NFL in passing yards right now. Now, they have had their bye, but if you added in his season average, which is like about 230 yards, whatever, that would still only put him up to about 12th, you know, in right now. So, and he's thrown for 8 touchdowns. You know how many picks he's got? 9.
Yeah.
He has more interceptions than he has touchdown passes right now. And this guy's listed at 6-1 for MVP. Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback on the planet. Do not get me wrong. This particular season, for this particular award in which we are trying to bet our hard-earned money to win, he is not going to win MVP unless something crazy happens over the second half of the season. Well, let me say, if they go 17-0,
I was just going to ask you.
If it won't matter. If they go 17-0, it won't matter.
Can he still, and this is where I think the name has so much power, but can he still win MVP if he has more interceptions than touchdowns? If they're 17-0?
Now, that is a really good question.
I still don't think he can. I don't think he can. I don't think we're ever going to see an MVP award given to someone that has more interceptions than touchdowns thrown.
I mean, I know, but. Dude.
But if they're 17-0.
They're 17,
we're going to talk about this team like they're a historic team.
If they're 17-0, isn't there, I thought there was
we talked about this win totals yesterday. Like, if I had to bet one right now, like, Chiefs over would be one of the ones I'd be looking at. Like, there are not many games that they're going to lose down the stretch
here. How about this then? Any team to go 17-0 is 10-1 at DraftKings.
Better bet.
As opposed to 6-1 for Mahomes to win MVP. Like, given the pace that he's on right now, and that's not to say that he's can't like just go nuclear in the second half of the season, but why would you? This formula that they have right now, which is playing really good defense and not like just taking the dinks and dunks and whatever, is working. Why would you drastically alter what you're doing? So I'm not saying they're even doing anything wrong. I'm just this at the end of the day, they will look at your counting stats. They do look at things like this. And so, yeah, I would, instead of betting Mahomes, I would just bet them to be undefeated.
Which also feels like a silly price. The problem is when we put it, when we frame it like that, that feels like a silly price for that because you should be getting longer odds. But then if we're talking that way, then you should be getting longer odds on him for MVP.
Agreed. So here's the other question. Jaden Daniels is sitting 16-1 for MVP. Like, they're not going to give anyone Rookie of the Year and MVP.
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think so.
So it's kind of like that too, to me, because they'll feel good about giving him Rookie of the Year. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it's like, oh, well, we can give MVP to someone else. Remember, this is still voted on by humans.
Right.
So.
And whether we think that's the way it should work or not, yes, there are a lot of people that are going to take the convenient route of, well, he's my Rookie of the Year. I can have some fun with my ballot or whatever, putting someone else number one for MVP.
So I think there are a lot of guys that are soaking up some love here that aren't necessarily really in it. So then it leaves kind of Josh Allen, Jared Goff, Jalen Hurts. I mean, Kyler Murray, this Cardinals team, like you said, Kelly, it's at least froggy. And if they do what they do when they're good for the majority of the games the rest of the season, they could win enough. They will win enough games to get into the playoffs. And I think Kyler at least becomes in the conversation because this team was picked to be pretty bad because of the defense, because of all this stuff. And like, basically it will be looked at as them overcoming right? So what if you, okay, I'm going to give you a free 100 Matt bucks. Josh Allen, Jared Goff, Jalen Hurts, Kyler Murray. Or is there someone else that you like better than that?
And it would be Josh Allen. I'm mad at myself. I mean, we rarely see a week like this midseason where this market's actually shifted as much as it has this week. I think we walked in here on Monday. I think over at DraftKings, Allen was 5-1 still. So he dropped down that much. Mahomes did get a little bit longer. I would go Josh Allen. I do think there will be some of the voter questions about going back to Lamar Jackson, although I still think he's right in there. I think he does deserve to be right at the top with Josh Allen. Voted on by humans, right? Whether he deserves to be or not, if there's one or two people that shift their attention away from him being on their top of their MVP ballot, then okay, it opens up room for Josh Allen. So I would go him. I think there's other names you could start crossing off here. Like, hey, Kyler, I mean, I think we could just talk about a point where I don't know if I'd be considering anybody after Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
I just feel like I should be getting longer odds on some of these guys. Like if it's a Stroud, a Murray, a Brock Purdy that makes a push here,
I think the only one that I could at least so that you make Mike could draw a line to, and we always talk about like, can you draw a direct line? If Darnold wins the division with the Vikings somehow, because then at that point you're knocking off Goff along the way, you're knocking off Love along the way. I think that there is at least something to that. I was looking at someone longer, I'm not saying I don't love it, but I think that there's at least a line that you could draw to him.
I get it. How many wins do you think the Bengals would have to get for Burrow to be considered?
And he is every advanced stat loves Burrow.
We just want to look at quarterbacks and what they're doing right now. He's still one of the best in the league.
Yeah, I mean, the number one, when you do adjusted completion percentage, when you do adjusted CPOE, all the different things like that, like he is number one in the league every single time. They'd have to win a lot, though, I'm pretty sure, to get it done. Let's get back to Thursday night football. Let's talk about some of those prop bets that are in our account.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Matt Kelly here on a Thursday. I'm in for Gil as we roll through Thursday night football. Interesting matchup, Texans at the Jets, in which the Texans are coming in very shorthanded at the wide receiver position. The Jets are pretty shorthanded, certainly at the safety position, where both their starters are out and their best linebacker as well. And, of course, we just have not seen a very good Jet squad so far this year. You go back and their two wins, Kelly. By the way, they only have two wins. Let me remind you of that.
Yeah, two wins, exactly.
Let me remind you of that. They only have two wins. And those two wins, it's nothing that you're going to jump up and down about, because one is the Patriots, in which they just lost to as well. And the other is the Titans, who you and I both had in our terrible category
that's
yesterday.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
So, I mean, they have two wins against terrible teams. So, yeah, you know, not a lot to get up. Not a lot. I know everyone wants to bet the Jets tonight. Everyone wants you to bet the Jets, and it's the smart side and it's the sharp side. I'm going to bet on the better team.
Yeah.
I'm betting on the better team.
That's what I feel like I'm doing too. And Matt, I'll tell you, it's been this Jets thing story. It's been fun to watch. As a guy who doesn't really, I don't root for the Jets. I don't root against the Jets. I haven't really been a huge Aaron Rodgers fan or anti Aaron Rodgers. It's always fun when these dream team situations just blow up in people's faces. If you don't care, it's always fun.
I said it on the Twitter machine. I had a thought that went out loud. It had to go out loud. I had to hit the send button. I say to people all the time, just because you think it doesn't mean you have to push the send button.
Oh, yeah.
But I said, I became a Patriots fan this past week for the first time in my whole life.
There you go.
And it felt great for 3 hours, and then it'll never happen again as long as I live. But, like, for 3 hours, I was a Patriots fan because I liked seeing the Jets lose. And I know that's crazy. Like, I mean, I don't even have an NFL team. Do you have an NFL team?
No.
I don't even have an NFL team.
I'm a big believer. So I grew up a Cowboys fan. I'm a big believer in once you've made your first significant bet against your own team, whatever significant is money-wise for you, once you put that against your own team, you can't call yourself a fan anymore. I respect fans that much, Matt. I respect them, but I can't call myself one if I'm out there betting against my team.
Yeah, all right. I like it. So people always look at me and go, dude, you're from Louisiana. What do you mean you're not a Saints fan? It's like, I'm from Northwest Louisiana. It is
Cowboys territory.
It is
right?
2 hours and change to Dallas. It is 5.5 hours in a car down to New Orleans. So like,
oh, wow.
It is exponential. The first three NFL games I went to in my life were Cowboys games because like it's just way closer on the road. But I wasn't going to be a Cowboys fan either. And so I just really never got fandom with the NFL. And like college football is kind of king anyway there. And right. So it just was what it was. So I don't even have a team. So it's not like, oh, I hate the Jets because I'm a Giants guy, or oh, I hate the Jets because I'm a, you know, whatever. No, I just, Aaron Rodgers rubs me the wrong way. Like he does a lot of people. The smugness, the like, I'm so much smarter than you. You're an idiot. I know so much more than you about everything. Just rubs me the wrong way.
Oh, and
to see this kind of blow up on him, I'm kind of like, well, I don't hate it.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I don't hate it.
You know,
I'm going to circle it back to my Cowboys resume before I get a bunch of tweets on this. I was born in Dallas. So one, I
thank
got
you
that.
Very much.
Unlike a lot of other people
Dallas,
that are
Russia,
Cowboys fans.
Yes, Dallas, Russia. But yes, exactly.
Born in Dallas. And my dad's side of the family is all from Philly. And they are the stereotype. My dad and his brothers, more so his brothers than my father. Stereotypical Philadelphia Eagles fans that you cannot stand. They own it, love it. So it was great when I was a kid in the early 90s to be like, Cowboys, Cowboys. That's the team I'll root for.
Felt great. I mean, so for me, again, I look at this also. So Aaron Rodgers, like we said, clearly banged up to the point where he wants to go to the microphone and say, you know, I'm drinking cayenne pepper water to make myself feel better. By the way, the Texans are fourth in the league in pressure rate. That's probably not going to go too well. Already down one starting offensive lineman for them tonight. Could be two if Morgan Moses can't go on a short week after three limited practices. So at the very least, a offensive line that hasn't been good anyway is going to be down a starter and could be down two different starters. I also look at this from a prop standpoint, Kelly, in this one where, yes, you mentioned, am I going to go elsewhere in the Texans wide receiver room? And so,
well, it's the first thing, right? Whenever we talk player props, it doesn't matter what sport. Yeah. If there are injuries out, there is production that needs to be made up by the rest of the team. So it's the easiest place to look at who's going to make up that production.
So Sauce Gardner has shadowed. He shadowed in weeks 4, 5, and 7. And those receivers were Cortland Sutton, Justin Jefferson, and George Pickens. And so there's a common theme there as well, which is, so Cortland Sutton, only receiver with a pulse on that team. Justin Jefferson, this is when Jordan Addison was out. So Justin Jefferson, only receiver with a pulse on that team. And then George Pickens, same deal there. I don't know if Tank Dell gets that same treatment. Like it certainly would have been if Steph Diggs would have been out there, whatever. But like, I think there's a decent chance maybe that they go in and Sauce just decides to shadow Tank Dell.
Yeah.
And so if that's the case, CJ Stroud's not going to throw for 100 yards, right? I mean, he's going to throw for 200 yards in this game, some way, shape, or form. Now, does that go to Dalton Schultz? I'm sure a decent amount of it will. Will Joe Mixon catch some stuff out of the backfield? Sure. But there's going to be other receivers that get some of the love here, and I'm actually going to go with Xavier Hutchinson. And so I know you never heard of him.
Xavier Hutchinson, all right.
I know you never heard of him. But listen, Xavier Hutchinson is actually, since Nico Collins went down, has had snap count percentage. You don't know that he's out there, but he's out there, right? Like he's just not catching passes, but he's had snap count percentages of 71%, 50%, 64%, and 62%. So he is out on the field for at least half of the snaps in every game since Nico Collins went down, and now Steph Diggs has gone down.
Yep.
So you would have to think that at the very minimum, you're going to get at baseline the 50%, which is what happened whenever Steph Diggs was still in the lineup, and maybe on the high side of that, which was 70%+, that he's been on the field in the 4 weeks since Nico Collins has been out as well. So if he's out there for 65-70% of the snaps in a game in which Sauce Gardner may or may not be honing in on Tank Dell or whatever, this props at 19.5 yards, Kelly. We need 20 yards out of Xavier Hutchinson, who might be on the field for as high as 75% of the snaps tonight, considering that he is kind of being forced into the wide receiver two role for this Texans team. So I'm going out on a limb. It's a leap of faith for sure. It's a dude that's been on the field and you didn't even know it. You didn't even know his name. And he's been on the field for, you know, as high as 70% of the snaps over the last 4 weeks. I think he gets a few more targets in this one, and we just need 20 yards out of him.
It's I love it. These are the reasons I love betting on sports, because we get to bet on guys like this, like Hutchinson. Yeah. And Matt Brown is going to bet on a guy who's gotten a whole 5 catches, 10 targets, and 64 yards this season.
Yeah.
God bless sports.
We're betting on the fact that he's going to be out there, and it's probably going to lead to additional opportunity here for this one. So that's where we're going. Outside of just the under and then playing the Texans.
I do think the one I was going to push back a little bit is like, is Robert Woods kind of that number two? But I think it's just too easy to say. Like, it's easy to say that compared to Hutchinson without really us having seen this team play without Collins, without without Diggs.
Well, I dug in, and like, that's the reason why this jumped off the page, because I just didn't know. I mean, that's a lot of snaps. I mean, he's been out there. That's a lot of snaps that he's been out there, and that was even with Diggs still in the lineup. And so,
Great blocker.
With Diggs out, he's going to get a whole lot more. Okay.
Great blocker. All right, so what do you got Thursday Night Football? You are on Texans.
Texans for under, the two. Under 43.5. The 42.5, just leave it alone. I mean, like, and honestly, the under now is a little less appealing to me with all these injuries on both sides of the ball and all that. But, I mean, you know, 43.5 at least is getting on the other side of the key-ish number of 43. So let's not worry so much about that. But I am on Hutchinson over on his yardage, which I think you can still find at 19.5 out there.
Okay, I like it. And I teased up the Texans. I think I threw them in with the Eagles. All teasers for me this week so far in the NFL.
I like it. Listen, man, there's nothing wrong with throwing. And the other thing that I would like to bring into play, we talked about this as well. I looked at this. I actually put this in the account too, is the alt line deals, right? So if you can find the two out there.
Oh, yeah. And talk through this, actually.
And you can find the 2.5 out there. You go in, just every single of the main sports books out there, the rest of country sports books, allow you to do line manipulation. You just go in, go to the game lines, and then you can just pick whatever you want the line to be. Now, the juice is altered based off of how far you want to go with it.
Right.
But you take a team from 2 to 7.5, and you're only asking the book for 5.5 points instead of 6, which costs you less juice if you're at 2.5 and you want to bring to 7.5. You're only asking them for 5 points instead of the full 6 that you get with the teaser. So I took the 2.5 that is still out there, and we have it at whatever, and you can take that, and then you can parlay it with another game if there's plenty of teaser options this week.
Yeah.
In which, again, you're just bringing it down through the 7, the 6, and the 3, but you're not asking for the full 6. And I end up getting plus 105 as opposed to paying 120 and 125 and all that. So you're just parlaying alt lines instead of going with just the standard teaser of 6 points, because we're really just trying to clear the 7, the 6, and the 3, you know? So mess around with it. Mess around with it.
These are things we've talked about a bit in the past, you know, on this show, but it is, we've talked a lot about teaser prices getting more expensive book to book. So it's even more important now that you take the time to kind of shop around and check those options. I tried to do it with one I was looking at tonight. Wasn't matching, so I went and played the teaser.
So there you go. We're about to talk to Mike Somich. We're going to talk about horse racing. If you do want to bet any of the bets that he talks about here in this next segment, you're going to want to do it over at firstbet.com. That is 1stbet.com, and new users get $200 sign up bonus if you use the code VSIN200, a 20% rebate for your first 60 days up to $200. You can bet the Breeders' Cup along with Mike Somich and everybody else over at firstbet.com. Use that promo code VSIN200.
A numbers game on VSIN, the sports betting network.
It is a numbers game here on a Thursday night football this evening. Going to make all kinds of people mad whenever the Jets lose. Everyone over in New York. I didn't even think about that. After last night?
Yeah, it could be a rough 24 hours, yeah.
Oh, after last night. Are people, it's typically though Jets and Mets, right? It's not.
I believe you're right.
It's Yankees, Giants, and then Jets, Mets.
Why'd you have to bring this up? I believe you're right. We're about to get 10 tweets, though, correcting us. I can tell you that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I don't think it's a rule. I think you can vary, but I think it's just typically.
I think naturally you are. Yes.
Yeah. I think it's like typically Jets, Mets, and then Yankees, Giants, if I remember.
There's
correct.
Definitely a match. There is a tendency for each family to root for two of those teams. I couldn't tell you which.
Well, however, it might be. You've seen this guy sitting on this very desk next to me, and he has been talking horses with me for over a year now. He is Mike Somich, my co-host on Ready, Set, Bet. At SamaBomb18 over there on the Twitter machine. Mike, how you doing, man? Are you just absolutely hyped because we are going to have a whole bunch of famous horses running this weekend?
I mean, I'm pretty jacked, Matt. I can't lie. This is like everyone talks about the Kentucky Derby, and that's the general public's Super Bowl in horse racing. The Breeders' Cup is the hardcores Super Bowl in horse racing. You've got 13 different races over Friday and Saturday, and it's split up into divisions. So two-year-old boys, two-year-old girls, turf sprinters, dirt routers, everything you could imagine. The best in the world all converge in one place and decide 13 separate championships. Every race over $1 million. You get to see the best of the best in the world, run against the best of the best in the world. What more could you want? So I'm excited here. Del Mar, phenomenal venue as well. I can't wait to kick this thing off tomorrow around 2:45 Pacific.
Are there any of the horses that you have talked to personally that we have any inside information about? Do like anyone really jacked up and hyped up for this?
I talked to a couple of them,
all
Matt.
Right, all right.
Unfortunately, they were all Japanese horses, and I don't speak Japanese. I just got the wrong line in there.
Unfortunate.
Mike's a better guy than me. I was like, has he heard the same bit as many times as I have?
You have no idea.
All right, Mike. Let's start on Friday because why would we start on Saturday if there's a race on Friday that you like? Is the Breeders' Cup Juvenile here in this one? What are we looking at?
Yeah, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, two-year-old colts going two turns, mile and 16th over the dirt course at Santa Anita, at Del Mar this year. And these are the horses that everyone's looking forward toward the Kentucky Derby. So last year, we saw Fierceness win this race. A horse named Muth ran second. Both were the early favorites for the Kentucky Derby. This year here in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, we've got a really interesting horse on the rail, East Avenue, going to show a bunch of speed, been phenomenal at two. But the problem for him is Bob Baffert has two in here. And kind of like those different, setups where you can say, hey, I'm going to just send one horse like crazy. Baffert loves to do that. He loves to send the longer shot horse. Well, that horse drew the two post and getaway car. So I think East Avenue gets a ton of pressure from getaway car right out of the gate. It sets it up for horses who want to be able to come from off the pace. And the number five horse, Jonathan's Way, absolutely jumps out to me. Currently sitting at 9-2 on the board. Jonathan's Way went gate to wire in his second effort, was able to come from off the pace in his first effort. So we know the mental aptitude is there to be able to stalk and pounce. I think he gets a perfect trip today. So like the five horse, Jonathan's Way, that's race number 9 on Friday, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Keep an eye on the 10-horse Chancer McPatrick as well. One we've talked about on Ready, Set, Bet before there. I think he's got a big shot in the Juvenile as well.
Sorry, going to be the 7-horse Gaming, ridden by Irad Ortiz and the other Bob Baffert horse. It's going to be Gaming there in that one.
Well, that is the horse that the getaway car is going to try and set up. Gaming cannot win if getaway car doesn't press East Avenue. So that's one of the main reasons I think you're going to see East Avenue and getaway car hook up early in a speed duel.
All right. Okay. See, here's the reason I say this is obviously how can you pass on Gaming considering the industry that we're in, Mike? I mean, we're picking things by name here. Okay. So the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. Now this is heading to Saturday. This is just 5 furlongs, correct?
Correct. Just 5 furlongs on the turf. We actually have a former world record holder as your favorite here.
Whoa.
Cogburn, your 7-5 favorite. Fastest 5.5 furlongs in history of time up at Saratoga this summer. But he faces an aptly named horse. Matt, I know you're going to like this one. AG Bullet. That is a periodic sign for silver. So it's actually Silver Bullet, not AG Bullet, that's going to be running. Very fast horse as well. Going to cause Cogburn a lot of trouble up top. And Europeans haven't done well in the sprint traditionally, but they sent their big boys this year. These are the best European sprinters, not the B team like they've been sending over in the past. I love the 12 horse Brad Sell out of the outside gate, 7-2 on the morning line. This is your best sprinter in Europe. Been an absolutely phenomenal horse, consistently wins, has been in the best races across the globe and doing really good work, getting 7-2 right now. I think Brad Sell upsets Cogburn. Keep an eye on the one horse Believing as well. Has run close to Brad Sell multiple times. Believing 12-1 has a better post and a better price. So I like the inside and the outside there. The 12 Brad Sell and the one horse Believing.
Sorry, it's going to be Notorious because that name is awesome.
A local favorite. Notorious been running in California for a long time. Horse has a shot, but would need to run the career best there.
I mean, Notorious. That is. If we're talking about names, Notorious?
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty. How do you spell that?
Notorious. Exactly how you would.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just with the
M. Just with an M.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, there it is. That one obviously is winning.
Obviously.
All right, so let's head to the big one. Let's head to the classic. This is 1.25 miles. This is 7 milli in this one, Mike. Some horses that, and again, I'm not, this is where I'll turn the bit off. These are the horses we've heard of before. These are horses, even if you are a casual horse racing fan, you probably bet on some of these horses before. So this field is really the all-star field.
It is. And we've got Fierceness, Forever Young, Sierra Leone. We've got Ushba Tesoro, Derma Sotagate, all horses that prepped or were in the Kentucky Derby. So even the casual fan knows a lot of these horses. The one you probably don't know, your favorite at plus 225, 5-2 on the morning line, City of Troy. And you know what's unique about City of Troy, Matt? Horses never run on the dirt. Yet here we are as the favorite in a $7 million dirt race. This is a three-year-old trained by Aidan O'Brien, the best three-year-old in Europe, hands down, has been dominating older horses in turf races, going a mile and a quarter, mile and a half. Phenomenal horse. But you know what? You never, in horse racing, bet a favorite when they're doing something new. And never running on dirt is definitely qualifying as doing something new here. Fierceness, your second choice, 3-1, was your Derby favorite earlier this year. We know all about him. He runs well. He runs poorly. You never really know what you're going to get. The 3-1 price, not bad if you're a Fierceness fan here. And if he runs back to that Travers effort where he beat Torpedo Anna, got a big shot at winning. But I'm going to go to Forever Young, sitting there 5-1 on fixed odds, 6-1 right now on the morning line. This is one of the Japanese horses that's shipping over for this spot. Forever Young ran in the Derby, ran a very good third, probably would have won that race if Sierra Leone didn't decide to just bang that horse the entire way down the stretch. The other key part for Forever Young's Derby, he was way further back than expected. It was 10 lengths, 15 lengths off the lead. Forever Young got a really rough break in that spot. The smaller field size should allow him to be a little bit closer to the pace this time here, running a second race in the U.S. He had one prep race before that, looked phenomenal over in Japan, chips into Del Mar. He looks like a different horse. He looks bigger. He looks stronger. He looks more built out. You can tell that Forever Young early in the three-year-old season to late in the three-year-old season has really been hitting the gym. I think Forever Young runs a big race here. I'll take 6-1 on the morning line on the one horse, Forever Young.
Tell us about any other horse that maybe people hadn't heard of that is pretty short there on the line next.
Yeah, next, an interesting horse. This is one that has been running in marathon races. So mile and a half, mile and 3/16, mile and 3/8. All of these longer distances, and has just been shellacking them, like just absolutely destroying them at this point. So next is one. What is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 straight races, all stakes races, all at that mile and a half, mile and three quarters style distance. It was time to take the shot. Face the best in the world going their distance, the mile and a quarter. Going to be very interesting to see what we get from this horse. He's traditionally been close to the pace, but in those mile and a half races, the pace is a lot slower than when it's a mile and a quarter. You also have a horse right to the inside of him in Arthur's Ride, who is going to be an absolute shot out of the gate. What Arthur's Ride does and what Next decides to do with that is going to be a key here. I think Arthur's Ride goes. I think it puts Fierceness in a world of trouble because all of a sudden he's inside of horses catching kickback, which he doesn't love. I think Next does get a good trip on the outside. The big question is going to be whether or not he's good enough. Again, when you're doing something new, it's hard for me to back you when I'm not getting a price that I think is elevated. I think Fairline for Next is around 15-1. Right now we're sitting there at 10-1, so I can't get him on the ticket.
You know what? I'll give you Forever Young. There you go. You've made one right choice here on the.
Hey,
on the
look at that! One good decision. That's right. More than usual. You just slam all my picks.
We got 30 seconds. So what do you like tonight in the Thursday Night Football?
Give me the under, baby. You mentioned the injuries. The injuries to the Jets are in the secondary, but they're in specifically the safety position. You've got a depleted wide receiver room for the Texans. They're going to run a run the football with Joe Mixon tonight. I like his overs and rushing yards as well. To me, this is just a slow it down game. If you're the Texans, you just want to get out of here with a win on the other side. The Jets have no offensive line. They're not going to play fast anyway. So you're going to get a slow pace from the Jets without an offensive line. You'll have a couple drive stall with those sacks. I think this is a stone cold under 42.5, Matt.
You can find this man with me on Saturdays and Sundays here on the network at SamaBomb18 over on the Twitter machine as well. He is Mike Somich. Mike, good luck on everything. And put on a blazer this week, while you're here, you know? Put on a blazer this week, you know?
That's a Breeders' Cup shirt, man. Yeah, come legit. On. Beat that the room, legit. Baby.
This
is like the real deal right there.
That legitimizes Jeez. Everything that he was
yes,
saying.
Yes, you just got to get a crest on anything.
good.
Imagine doing 3 hours with this guy.
Good luck on all your picks this weekend, Mike. When we come back, yeah, it's that time. We're going to rank, because everyone else is doing it, let's rank Halloween candy.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Final segment here on a Thursday. Matt and Kelly here on the desk. We get some tweets.
We do. We get tweets.
Couple.
Yeah, we got a couple. Good friend, Chillionaire.
Only a couple made the cut, is what it is.
We're not getting as many. I mean, Gil's out. We understand. It's okay. I understand. I kind of wish I would have got a tweet or two having my back with the whole bets to-do list, but, you know, it's okay, guys. It's okay.
Fine.
Sort we'll of. Let you off the hook. Yeah. Good friend, Chillionaire, tweeting in, going to start calling my Bloody Mary's pepper water. Also, shout out to Gil. We love you, buddy. Couldn't be the best listeners if we didn't have the best host in sports betting media. Everybody missing Gil this week, for sure.
Shots fired in a nice tweet, though. He's basically like, hey, Matt, you suck. Like it's one of those things. It's like shots fired. Like a really nice tweet at the same time.
I'm sure
like,
we're doing a perfectly fine job.
I can't wait to get this Matt guy off the microphone. Like hurry back, Gil. I can't listen to this dude for a second longer.
You can't read it like that, yeah. Dude. You can't read it like that. All right, Jason H11, he had the answer for us. I knew someone would. Yes, Matt, and boring Midland Giants fans like me are also Yankees fans. What a wonderful time I'm having with my two favorites.
So we were right. So Yankees, Giants, Mets, Jets.
I did also punch it into the old AI. Interesting results. It was like a list of like seven. It cited geographical distances between the stadiums with, you know, correlating the two teams. Yeah.
Really?
So yeah, it goes back. Yeah, there's history with both geography and then the history of like, you know, Jets and Mets both being bad at the same time, being underdogs for so long. So, yeah, that's what AI tells me.
So all of this stuff, and, of course, we'll close the show out with our best bets and the stuff that we have going on tonight in Thursday Night Football. But this is the reason you all hung around for the 2 hours and 45 minutes that you've hung around with us, because you wanted to know what Kelly Bidlin says are the five best candies on the face of the planet.
That's right. That is right.
Because really all this is a ranking of your favorite candy. Like, I mean, like everyone calls it Halloween candy, but like candy is candy is candy. There's nothing that only makes an appearance at Halloween.
Okay. That's maybe the only thing we're going to agree on this segment. I agree. I don't like it's just candy.
It's just candy. It's basically just your
There's just
candy.
More of it this time.
Yeah. It's like you get it for free. Like the only difference is you get it for free. You get it for free. They hand it to you. They put it, but that's the only difference because candy is candy.
That's right. All right. Well, am I starting this?
I want you to start.
Ryan Pineda, great job on these graphics. Love it. Starting at number one, Butterfinger. Any correlation of peanut butter and chocolate, that works. That was the perfect, best match in the history of all food, okay? Peanut butter and chocolate. So I went Butterfinger number one. Anything Reese's number two.
You can't do that.
Oh, really?
You cannot do that.
No, a peanut butter cup Reese's? Is just as good as Reese's Pieces. It's just as good as the rest.
Completely different things, though. If somebody likes the peanut butter cups, that doesn't mean that they automatically like the pieces.
Well, I do. These are my power rankings, so everything Reese's.
But those are two
you
completely different.
It doesn't
different.
Necessarily mean. It doesn't.
Those are two. Okay.
Now then, you're setting rules on my candy.
Then you
preferences.
Could just put chocolate. So then M&Ms are the same thing as a Hershey bar.
All right, that's a pretty good comeback.
Right?
That's pretty good. Yeah. All right, fine, I'll put Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Okay,
but like then it would be a boring top five because it would be every Reese's candy that's on there. I wanted to get other candies, okay? So, like, at least Reese's Pieces would be up there as well, the Peanut Butter Cups. Okay. But I'll go Peanut Butter Cups. Right. And then I'll switch away from chocolate. Skittles, love me some Skittles. Don't put a bag of Skittles in front of me. That's bad. Skittles and Starburst. Going with those two. And then I circled back to chocolate at the end with Kit Kat. Always a classic Kit Kat. Can't go wrong with that.
So Kelly's five for the people listening that can't see. Butterfinger, we're going to go with Reese's Peanut Butter Cups because you can't just go Reese's anything. I had a very good rebuttal to that.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Skittles, Starburst, and then Kit Kat. So a couple of fruit ones on there.
Yeah.
Go along with the chocolate one.
Yeah, is that what we would call it? I was trying to think of what to call them as well. The sweeter candy that's not chocolate.
Yeah, I mean, it's fruit-flavored. Yeah, fruit-flavored candy. Yeah, something like that. Okay, so
Isaiah
for me,
will come correct us.
So for me, Kit Kat, number one.
Yeah, I can't bash this because it was on my list.
Number one with a bullet because it's kind of like the lightest candy bar. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like it's just like a thin layer of chocolate on little wafers and stuff. Like I kind of like the fact that you get the chocolate flavor, but also the wafer is not just buried in there. Like that's why Nestle's Crunch. Like the rice is just there. It might as well not be there. It doesn't add anything to it. You don't taste the rice.
Bro, you're already like, I didn't want to go down this road, but are we taking a health approach to our, rankings?
What I'm saying.
Why you can't do these power rankings with an in-shape dude like Matt Brown.
No, it's just these are.
It's a little lighter. It's not as heavy on your stomach.
It's not. You get what I'm trying to say. It's just like, you know, it's not this overwhelming like things. Anyway, all right. Sour Patch Kids number two.
Yeah, they almost
you can't have
a list.
Okay, so you can't have a problem with Sour Patch Kids.
Love Sour Patch
Kids. Sour Patch Kids are absolutely amazing. I'm guessing this is where you have your problem? Twix is number three?
No, but I find this interesting. Like, I feel like if you go like Twix or Snickers, like you kind of judge someone one way or the other.
So
not bad or good.
I don't do peanuts.
Okay, there you go.
There you go.
So that's, I feel like everybody's Snickers or Twix,
yeah,
right?
See, you know? I don't do peanuts, and so Twix for me. Twix was always an interesting one because Twix were the ones where if I got enough of them, I would eat some of them just normally, and then I would stick some in the refrigerator.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and like have the cold version.
Like frozen Snickers, those are great. Now, that number four is when you start to act like you're 67 years old.
The little Dove dark chocolate nuggets are fire. Like, they are really, really, good.
Now you just forced fire, so you didn't sound like you were 67 years old, but actually it just makes you sound even older, because I don't think anybody's used fire in, like, 7 years.
Okay, the bomb. There, the bomb. There. There, bee's knees. Dove dark chocolate nuggets are amazing. You get those in the, you know,
the little wrapping.
Yeah, the little fat piece. Yeah, the little fat piece of chocolate.
Sure, they're fine. They're delightful with a glass of wine after.
I like dark chocolate a lot. Do you not like dark chocolate?
No, give me milk chocolate.
Oh, see, I really like dark chocolate, and then when you give me a whole nug of it, like that's good for me. And then finally, York peppermint patties. And actually, I'm going to give you a reason for this, because this is a very versatile candy, because you can use York peppermint patties.
This is what I was
at room temperature. You can freeze them, which completely changes what they are as an actual candy, because they taste differently than they do at room temperature, and also, you can use a York peppermint patty, which is a candy and which is still a thing of dessert, as a breath freshener as well. It is a multi-use candy, and that's why it makes this like the Swiss Army knife of candies right here, which is why it gets into number five.
All right, that was a good pro argument. I'll go the con. It's you put a mint on your list, bro. Like that's how old you are. A mint on your list.
There is chocolate for one. I just told you I'm a dark chocolate guy, so they're dark chocolate as it is. I think I'm pretty sure. And then two. And two, who doesn't want to be able to, at any given time, be like, you know what? I'm going to have a nice little refreshing snack that is candy and also freshen my breath at the same time. Who doesn't love that?
So just to review, we've got a multi-purpose mint on Matt's list. Yes. And then we've got a not too heavy chocolate candy bar at number one.
I'm saying that the wafer part is not wasted. Like like a Nestle's Crunch, the rice is just there. I don't even, why is the rice there?
Yeah, no,
it adds nothing to
chocolate.
It.
Yeah, yeah.
It adds nothing to it whatsoever.
I love a Kit Kat.
But the Kit Kat, the wafer, you can actually taste the wafer.
You get the
wafer
crunch.
The wafer has a purpose of being in the candy.
Is that the Kit or the Cat?
That would obviously be the Cat.
Obviously?
Yeah. That would obviously be the Cat. And then when I was a kid, if you would ever, if my parents.
Were those last two on your list as a kid? These would have made Matt Brown's age 12. Top five power.
Okay, so the dark chocolate nug
for sure
would not have. I've always liked the frozen peppermint patty. Okay. Like the frozen peppermint patties, I've always liked it. Now the dark chocolate nug would not have.
Yeah, everybody discovers that when they're like 36 years old.
But then you get a weird enjoyment. You get a weird enjoyment out of it, though. You're right. Like you just said, you sit down, have you a nice little glass of cab.
I had a lot of fun
with a dark chocolate nug. Like, I mean, telling you, man, like it's just life. You sit there and you just go, like, you know what, life isn't so bad. Like, I got me a dark chocolate nug and a glass of cab. Like, life isn't that bad.
In shape dudes making foodless.
I'm just saying.
Shouldn't be allowed.
It's great stuff. All right, we got Thursday Night Football. Let's go ahead and recap everyone's bets here that we've got in here. For me, I am on the Texans at
the G-Bank best bets?
Best bets. We have the Texans at plus two. We have the under in this at 43.5. It's down at 42.5. I would, if it gets up to 43, if you want to play the under, that's fine. 43 key-ish number. Let's wait on that. And then also, we are going, like we said, we're going to try and guess
the Hutch
where the targets are going, Kelly. And we're going to go with Xavier Hutchinson, a guy that has been on the field and you didn't even know it.
That's right. I like it. Okay. I am on the Texans side. I have that teased up. I have that with the Eagles, I believe. Yep. Eagles teased this week, although I'm not looking at Eagles like as much after all the Jacksonville wide receivers, I guess, are back and looking okay again. Zach Cohen, he hit us with Texans money line. Joe Mixon, anytime touchdown. Arkansas this weekend in college football, catching 7.5. Jazz money line tonight, and then Ja Morant over 27.5 points and assists. Mike Somich, way to go, DeMond in the back. Race 9 on Friday, Jonathan's Way, 9-2 on the line right now. Race 5 on Saturday, Bradsell, 12-1. Race 8 on Saturday, Forever Young. And then Jets, Texans under tonight, Browns and Eagles in a teaser this weekend. That one was extra for you because we didn't get it with,
look
get
at that. With Mike. These best bets are brought to you by GBank, the official bank of Visa and the GBank. Visa Signature Card is your best bet, delivering 1% cashback rewards on eligible gaming transactions, 2% cashback rewards on all other purchases. For more information, VSiN.com/GBank. That is VSIN.com/GBank. Subject credit approval, terms and conditions do apply. I'll be back in tomorrow. We will run through each and every one of these NFL games right now. Stormy's going to take over and tell you her favorite candy probably here on the network. Good luck on all your Thursday Night Football bets.